Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live clinical series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, and we attempt to methodically go through it slowly. As Father has summarized all of Luis's writings, he's segregated into different themes, different categories, and he's given us a summary, and then he's given us access to the volumes to allow Jesus, to allow our Blessed Mother to take it to the next level. No one's going to teach us this gift of the divine will except our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. Yeah, it may come through a cheerleader who is very good at stirring our appetite, getting our desire, and of course, very knowledgeable. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about like the Father Anuzzi's, the Father Celso's, the Mother Gabriel's, and even those that have passed, Father Brown, Father Young, which was so instrumental in bringing the gift of living the divine will to Radio Maria, which is astonishing. And now there's three or four programs about the divine will on Radio Maria. Hopefully you join us on Thursdays at 11 a.m. So it's all here. And it's all, as we wait for this critical edition to be released by the Vatican, which we're not sure when we're going to actually have access to that, because the Archbishop has stated, I think it was in 2020 or 2022, he said there are some ambiguities that need to be resolved. Not errors, but basically there's certain parts of Luis's writings that the Church cannot explain from a Catholic perspective and in a position and a format to be disseminated to the public. So they're still working on that. Again, and Jesus knew this. He said somewhere in the writings the Church is going to try to understand this in human terms, with their own intellect. But he says this takes a mystical gift. It takes grace to understand this. And Jesus tells us that grace anticipates the soul. So if we have the desire for something and we have the intention to do it, Jesus says, okay, just start it and I'll feed it for as long as you want it. So that's just beautiful. It's just, he actually makes it so easy for us. And what's also easy is on your ears today, because we do have with us Maureen. I'll unmute Maureen right now before we open with prayer. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Thank God you're here. Nobody wants to listen to me for an hour. I can assure you of that. Okay, so we're going to begin with prayer, if we may, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary and Vocation, O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be back and grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. Truly blessed to be alive at this time and blessed to be together. There's not many of us, as you can tell. There's not many of us. And Jesus says that. We're going to find that somewhere in one of the writings. Actually, it's in more than one place in the writings. He says this is going to be very few in the beginning. He says, but this will be for everyone in the end. So he wants that small group, just like he did with the 12 apostles. Look what 12 souls did. He's looking for these souls to do the same, if not more. So that's just incredible. And he's got a wonderful sense of humor. He chose us. I mean, think about that. Hey, Maureen, any opening comments?
No, but I'm really happy to be here. It's been a long time for me, and I really need this. I really missed it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. I was away on that family reunion for 2 weeks, and I realized that we're all we got. I mean, and Jesus says that. I don't know what volume it's in. I mean, he goes as far to say, and I know this to be a fact, I'm going to say it, I may be off by a word or two. He says, trust no one except those in the divine will. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful statement. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't think he's saying also that, you know, during our journey that everyone's perfect. They're not. I mean, I'm the greatest example of that, not being perfect. I'm close to it. But he says, only trust those who are in the divine will. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. I'm sure one of you listening today could probably bring the volume up. I have it somewhere. I probably can't find it for today. But that's a really great one. Okay, so we're coming to the end of this one segment, this one theme of what Father did. And again, Father gave us this beautiful gift that has abrogation, which is the scholastic word for approval, through the Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See. So the church has put their stamp of approval on Father's dissertation. Well, it's astonishing because we have this work as we're waiting for that critical edition. And based on the Archbishop's communicato, we're not quite sure when we're going to have that. It could be tomorrow. It could be years. I mean, we don't know. But in the meantime, we have Father's approved work, which summarizes that. He gives us the explanation and drives into the volumes. And I'm going to skip ahead just to, while I'm on that subject. The late Archbishop Pacieri, he asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Now, some have misunderstood this as you need a priest to gather, to have a cenacle, to discuss the divine will, to share our thoughts on it. No, absolutely not. In fact, the Archbishop, through Father Brown, we were fortunate to have Father Brown here at Mary's Hill, he says, actually, the Archbishop, he doesn't put this in writing, but he said he encourages us to have this in the home. Mm-hmm. Because in the home, nobody can stop it. I mean, you know, I heard of my local church here, they had a Divine Will. I wasn't involved, but they had a Divine Will Senegal that was being facilitated by someone. And all of a sudden, it got shut down because my pastor heard from someone that Father, I knew he's not a priest. and he heard that and he ran with it. And he says, okay, no divine will. So again, perfect example of why Archbishop Pacieri said, do it in the home, learn, grow. The church will be ready for it when they're ready for it, when God readies the church. We can't push them forward. But if you are fortunate enough to have a bishop, or a pastor or a priest in your parish that welcomes it, supports it, and you are able to meet in the church, that's perfect, beautiful. And hopefully you can advertise in the bulletin and everything else.
You know, Peter, I think when I think of the early Christians, I'm thinking about the early Christians a lot lately. I don't know, maybe because of the persecutions that are happening and how your strength, your faith gets stronger in different things like that. But it just came to me, like the early Christians, I mean, they had their masses in the homes, didn't they? I mean, weren't they? They had to kind of keep the mass in secret. And so we're not early Christians, but we're early. What would you call us? We're early. I don't know. We're early something. We're the beginning of the new era. So there has to be a special name for us, divine will people. I guess we're just the early divine will movement. I don't know, but forerunners, there you go, from Teresa. We're the forerunners. So we have to do it. And if it doesn't matter where, that's how I think of it. It's so important that you find a place and you read with others. And if you can't go here, you go here. But it's the movement of the spirit. So it's going to be done regardless, right? It's just going to happen.
That's absolutely so true, Maureen. It really is. You know, none of this is possible without God.
Yeah.
None of this is possible without our Blessed Mother. And, you know, once we recognize that, I think we're able to. Jesus says to have true humility, you must have confidence. Well, it seems like a paradox. Confidence, no, not overconfidence, but we have to have confidence in what we know. And we know this to be true. And we know that we know. So when you know that you know that you know, mm-hmm. it's enough to go forward on it. And that's why, maybe that's a great time. I love this little quote. I found it on my desk a while ago. I don't have a name affixed to it. I'm pretty sure it didn't come from me. I don't know where it came from. And this is so, whenever I get a little bit of those dry spots, I read this. And I mean, maybe I'll share it via email after the program. Quote, "This kingdom is so valuable that once you have glimpsed it, it is worth putting, it is worth parting with everything you have in order to gain it, even though to others you may look foolish. You know of the hidden treasure, and that makes it worth everything." End quote. Mm-hmm. It's true. Christians were the early Christians, as you brought up, they were persecuted. They were laughed at. Mm-hmm. And while we're on the early Christians, remember the apostles. Remember, the only one that didn't die a martyr death was St. John. Mm-hmm. And I think, why? Because of his relationship with our Blessed Mother. Cling to Mary and you will be saved from a lot of punishment. I really believe that. I think Jesus articulates that somewhere in the volumes as well. But nothing too, before we start, this is really, really important. If God has made this the primary purpose of everything that he's done in the history of mankind, especially in the church the last 2,000 years, really quickly, sorry to divert, but
it's all good, Peter. It's all good, right? Yeah.
The review of this stuff is incredible. Yeah. This is what Jesus says in volume 14, September 11, 1922. He says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing that I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation. This was my primary purpose in redemption. It was my primary purpose in the sacraments that I instituted. The many graces given to my saints have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will." End quote. So everything we have is to bring us where we are now.
Yeah.
So that's why we can't get stuck anywhere. And that's why Jesus says, you have to give up even holy things to embrace this gift. Not that we're throwing the holy things out the window, not that they're not holy anymore, no, but there's a greater good. We must sacrifice what we're doing to embrace the greater good and then bring back what we're doing. Now we're doing it in a whole different dimension. We're doing it, which will effectuate a change on all souls, past, present, and future, as opposed to only effecting a change or helping those souls in front of us. I mean, it's mind-boggling, the opportunity that God has given us, I think, the greatest opportunity to be humble heroes. There's not going to be many, but this is going to save. It's going to save the face of the earth. Jesus says that.
And Louisa would ask him, "Why did you wait so long?" And he would say, well, we weren't ready. So I thought to myself, wow, so now he thinks we're ready. So then you realize, wow, we must be special. You know what I mean? I mean, we're ready, he thinks. Even though sometimes we don't feel ready, God thinks we're ready. So now he's giving it. So it makes you realize, wow, this is a special time to be alive. Despite whatever you're seeing in the world happening, Jesus thinks we're ready. So, wow, that's amazing.
Well, it is. And he explains that also. Again, I just read that too the other day. He says every 2,000 years, he has a renewal. Mm-hmm. And remember, he had the flood. 2,000 years later, it was his birth. 2,000 years later, we are where we are now. So everything has to come down. Everything has to crumble. Everything has to, just look like it's going away. Even the church, he says, will become very small. It'll look as if it's been abolished, but if not, it's going to grow back with greater fervor. And you mentioned about that time that Jesus giving it to us during our lifetime, which is so spectacular. I mean, that also brings me to the point of, remember, we talk about secrets, and usually in our vernacular, a secret has a nefarious connotation. It's not good. It's probably you're withholding something. Well, again, Jesus speaks the language of heaven. Webster does not have the exact definition for every word that Jesus is going to use to explain his. I mean, he's using human vernacular to explain divine realities. There's much more beyond the words. That's what's considered the language of heaven. But let's just take the word secret. Our Lady divulges, gives us the definition of what is a secret. She says it in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one. Our Lady speaks and says, quote, "For a secret is a need of a heart, a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding. End quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but to your point, they're saying we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
We're capable of understanding through a disposition. Yeah. It's all God. It's all a gift. It's all a mystical gift.
And who's been helping us all these years? The Blessed Mother. She's been the one. She's been the one getting it ready. It's like she's getting her little children ready to go to school. Okay, getting them dressed and getting them all ready to send them out. And that's what a mother does. And I think when did she first start appearing? Gosh, Our Lady Guadalupe, 1500s. I mean, who knows? She might have been appearing even before that. I don't know, but she definitely has a part in this whole thing, leading us to this point. I think a lot of people that are in the divine will love Our Lady, and I think that she leads us here.
She has a huge part, to your point, Maureen. You know, she's been put in charge of marking the children,
mm-hmm.
claiming the souls back for God. That's the job given to her. So she's the one that's gathering us. Yes, this divine will came through Christ. He's the originator. Let's say he's the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
But the distributor is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
She distributes to whoever she pleases, when she pleases, to what extent she pleases. That's the definition of a mystical gift. Not given like baptismal gifts. They're unequally given.
Mm-hmm.
And God can do that because he's God.
Yeah.
And he's given us a glimpse. He's given us several. I mean, one... All of us that are joining today, I can guarantee we all recognize this divine will as something extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. I mean, I can think of in my former life a lot of other things to do on a Friday evening,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't think of anything greater to do on a Friday evening than read the writings of Louisa, through Mary and through our Blessed Lord. It's astonishing. But you're right, Mary, Maureen. It's just I get so bogged down when I think about it. I mean, it just drains me. Not from I'm not getting nervous or anxious or anything, but it just consumes my time when I just say, why? Why us? Why at this mm-hmm. time? See, God sees something in us that we don't see.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's going to make something of us that we were not going to be.
Yeah.
So we have to think about
that. I hope he does something with us.
Yeah. And on that note, before we close before we go back, remember, Jesus has said many times that this is the greatest gift that he has given to mankind. And that's a fact, of course. Father Nuzzi reminds us also that in addition to this being the greatest gift that he has given of all time, it's the greatest gift that God can give in all time. Because he's giving his total self. There's nothing, and Jesus says this many times, there's nothing greater that God can do for the creature, for us, than to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. Nothing. So there's nothing, no more chasing butterflies. There's nothing we can aspire to that is greater than what we're entrenched in right now, the gift of living the divine will. So again, ingratitude was something that hurt Jesus very much in his humanity. We have to remember, I know I have to remember more than normal to thank God for everything, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep and all throughout the day, for everything that we have, mm-hmm. the car, the job, the food, whatever. God beats our heart, flows our blood, breathes our lungs. If it wasn't for his divine will doing that, we would not exist. It's just mind-boggling. So thank you, Lord, for bringing us this gift. May we be empowered to and filled with grace in order to do your will, so that we may possess your divine will. And remember, he also says, Maureen, grace anticipates the soul. I think it's somewhere mm-hmm. here. So we're going to have what we need when we need it, if we have the right intention. He guarantees it. And I trust God. Yeah. I don't trust myself, but I trust God. Okay. So we're on 5375. We're finishing it up. And we're going to do the red, Maureen. Is that okay? I'm going to bring the pointer out. They changed some of the stuff here on the Zoom. So I got to. Okay. So we bring that out, get rid of that. Okay. So we're just going to hit some highlights. That's okay. What I love. And then we can go into the material. I think we'll have time. Please.
To Louisa, Jesus reveals that the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor by the assimilation of Jesus's groans of love.
I love the way Jesus uses groans of love, or our Blessed Mother says, I was ill with love. All these things, they sound like contradictive, but they're so here. God is explaining, or again, the Baltimore Catechism, correct me if I'm wrong, Maureen, but you were too young for that anyway. To know God, to love God, and to serve God. And now through the explication, the Article 66, now we know that to do all of those three, we need to possess God. So God here defines the reason why we're alive. Everyone. The aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor. That is the purpose why we're here. So anything else we do in and through the church is not enough. Now, again, for those who don't know about the divine will, less is expected, of course. But he's made this known to us through his mother. God has gotten us this information. Now, if God has made available the volumes, I think God really expects us to read them. Because every time we uncover one of these divine truths, we increase our desire. And of course, we increase our love. And then, of course, we want to serve him. We want to do what all that is capable of doing, which is bring us back to do it. But to do that, we need God's grace. And that's what he's doing right here. So that's our purpose right here. He revealed it to Louisa so that we may also be revealed this truth. We are the aim of God's man's existence is to live in God's divine will. So we're right where we should be right now. Thanks be to God. Okay. We talked about this, but this is worth repeating because this is comforting. If anyone's going through hard times or we're anticipating something coming up, and I think that's true. There's going to be some real difficult times coming. Let's also remember this. Please, Maureen.
Grace anticipates the soul. While the soul experiences this state, God communicates his grace, the grace of true and eternal love. I limit myself to adding that grace anticipates the soul. It arouses it, but only when the soul masticates and digests these truths, as the body consumes and digests food. Does the grace communicated then enter to take possession of the soul? This is why not everyone receives the effects described above. For some, let such grace escape their minds like bright flashes, and they fail to make any room for it.
That's incredible. Yeah. And also Jesus tells us, and I had it on my desk, and I can't find it. If you saw my desk, you would know why. Jesus articulates and explains about the gifts and graces that he gives to us. He says that without a response from the creature, without a response from us, the gift is not complete. The gift actually doesn't go back to sender, but it goes into limbo to be used later. He wants a response. Well, our response can just be gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for everything. That completes the gift. I mean, it's really important. I wish I had it in front of me, but I'll try to put that in the email as well. So we need to respond. And how do we respond? We respond by doing God's will, number one. And he's put it right in front of us. He wants us to enter into this divine will. And the shortcut is to read the volumes. But it's beyond that. I mean, God can give us this grace without the volumes. I mean, if we said you must read all 36 volumes in order to receive this gift, then that would be Gnosticism. That would be a heresy. Oh, so all those who don't have the books, they can't receive the divine will? No, it's not true. But it is true that if God has made this available to us, that he does want us to read it, because it's just going to reinforce what we already know and increase our desire, which is going to increase our work, our knowledges, our love, our service, and of course, wanting to possess him. So all that's, it's all connected. It's contagious, but grace anticipates the soul. So again, whenever we're feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Grace anticipates it's all. If you think you need proof of it, go back to the saints, how they were martyred. Look at St. Lawrence the Deacon, burned at the stake, you know, charred black, as some witnesses say. And he says, turn me over, I'm done. I mean, just like infuriating the king at that time. Well, he also infuriated them when he said, the king told him, bring all the treasures, all the gifts, and he brought all the lepers and the people that were without homes, and that's the gold of God, the human creature, and he got infuriated, of course, and then burned them. But the grace is going to be there. So whatever we're tackling right now, or whatever we're going to tackle in the future, it's okay. Jesus says, as the chastisements happen, he says those living in the divine will, those, and I consider that those journeying in the divine will, we'll have control over the elements. He says that. I mean, wind stop, rain stop. And he says control of the elements. And he says also have little or no effect on those living in the divine world. He also says in page 415 of the dissertation that God will protect those souls who are living in his divine will, journeying his divine will, and the places where those souls reside. So if we're looking for this same protection for our families, even if they may not be journeying in the divine will, well, I would assume most of our families live where our abode is. So he says he's got all that covered. So we really have no worry. And again, grace anticipates us all. This is one of my favorite passages, volume 11, September 25th, 1913. You're probably nauseous from me repeating it, but I'm not going to read all of it, but I've got some highlights and read it, which I think is really important leading up to the conclusion of this little summary.
Okay, just the red, Peter?
Please, please, Maureen.
Okay. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. The divine will, not the Holy Eucharist, is the center and the life of the soul. The divine will gives life to the sacraments and encloses them within itself. Now, blessed Jesus came and told me, my daughter, I had to do in such a way that sanctity might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it, in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. It is true that the Most Holy Eucharist is center, but who instituted it? Who constrained my humanity so that it might be enclosed within the little circle of a host? Wasn't that my will? My will will always have primacy over everything. Further, if everything is in the Eucharist, the priests who call me from heaven into their hands and who are in contact with my sacramental flesh more than anyone should be the most saintly and the most good. Instead, many are the worst. And he still comes.
He's very direct.
Yeah.
Again, that the divine will, not the Eucharist, is the center and the life of the soul. That's probably not the greatest opening line to discuss with somebody who's new to the divine will, because I think they're going to run away from you saying the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. I mean, it sounds scandalous, but when you put it into context, you know, he basically says, what power is it? Who instituted it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all comes from God's most holy divine will. Everything. And so we're going back to the everything. And that's why I love that phrase also. I found my everything in that nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When we put all this stuff aside, we can see God, I think, more clearly. You know, we put all the things away that the world likes to give us to occupy our time and our hearts. We found our everything in the nothing. But it's hard when you're balancing everything and you don't have time for God, because we always have time for God. We can't invent more hours in the day, but we can reallocate some of those hours that are not being probably used to the best of our ability. You know, maybe the TV needs to go, the newspaper, the news. Maybe we're spending too much time. And again, it doesn't have to be a cold turkey. But it can be just a gradual. If you're spending 2 hours on TV, narrow it down to an hour. Before you know it, you're not going to want it at all, because you're going to be spending more time with the divine will and recognizing that this is the greatest gift, the most important thing we can do, and that God has called us, again, for this humble hero scenario to help all souls, past, present, and future. I mean, I say it, and it sounds unbelievable. So
yeah,
how can I not understand when people don't understand this? And I think I mentioned that one story on Radio Maria. I was talking to I try to also listen to what Saint Hannibal said. He said two things that resonated with me. He said, number one, he only reads two or three passages a day because he wants to the best of his ability, fully digest those two and then allow God to explain it to him. He doesn't want to complicate it with too much. And the second thing he said was he shares the divine will, I'm paraphrasing, not necessarily with everyone, but for those who he's inclined to do so with. So if he's prompted to or moved to share, he does so. So I was trying to deploy that same posture at my church. And there's this very holy woman that's there every day and for daily mass. And again, I was moved. So I caught her after mass. I'm speaking to her about the divine will. And she looks like she's really getting excited about this. And I mentioned about, you know, it all comes down to our fiat. Well, when I said fiat, she goes, fiat. And you won't believe it. My son just bought a fiat. It's red. It's got black leather interior. It's got all the power. It's got this. So I'm saying this. She wasn't listening to what I said.
Oh, boy.
I said, what are you going to do? I was so close yet so far. So again, St. Hannibal knew that, you know, not everyone is going to be receptive to this. They're not ready for this. They're not hungering for this like we are. Maybe you just have to be a little crazy. I think we all qualify for that in a very good way.
Well, isn't it true that as we pray in the divine will, more people will come into it?
Absolutely.
So no pressure or anything, but put everything away.
No, but it's true. And it's nice to know how that works quickly. Yeah. Basically, Jesus says is when we do an act in the divine will, which again doesn't take much. We need to be in a state of grace, have an upright intention. We want to do it for God's glory. And God will give us this gift on loan. So if we do one act in the divine will, or when we do an act, God is so elated, all of heaven is so elated that he sends down this dew of disposition, in essence, to help others have this craving for this gift as well. So yeah, that's the best thing we can do. That's the best way to proselytize this gift, is to do acts and rounds in the divine will, not to speak to people. I mean, that's going to be part of our journey. But acts and rounds will allow God to cover all souls, which we are incapable of doing. I mean, how can we reach all souls? You can't, but God can. So yeah, you're right, Maureen. Acts and rounds. That's why that's so important. Mother Gabriel is constantly hammering that acts and rounds, because that's what Adam did. That was his job. And then he lost, and that's our job to fill, acts and rounds.
So while this war is threatening and Mother Nature is wreaking havoc, we do our acts and rounds and we're part of the army.
Absolutely. And it's the only way to defeat, because it's God. We're actually standing behind God, and God's walking into a room. Nobody's going to hurt God, and God's going to take care of the situation. I mean, this is all predictable. There's a great paperback book called Fatima and the Great Conspiracy. It's written by, quote, an Irish housewife, but I think it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how every war, every major war in the 20th century has been contrived.
Been
orchestrated.
For sure. Yeah.
For power, for money, the central banks, mm-hmm. blah, 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 all that stuff. So we also knew about 25 years ago in this book when I read it, that the central banks are the biggest farce in the world. I mean, they print money and then you owe the money to them. Wait a minute. They just printed it, but you owe them money. So that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But there was two countries in particular, that industrialized countries, that said, you know what? I'm not going to play for this farce. I know exactly what you guys are doing. I'm not going to do it. It was Iran and Iraq. Well, Iraq, we know what happened there, right? Weapons of mass destruction, but they really couldn't find them. So we wiped them out. We took them over. And now they're on the central banking system. There's one country left. It's Iran. Why is all this talk about Iran? Why did our government just give them back $6 billion by arms or whatever they're going to do with? Because again, they were told, we're going to get you, you're going to be an example for saying no to us. And when I say no to us is the elitists, those imperialists that, let's call them what they are, they're really Freemasons. And again, the Freemasonry started 70 years after Christ's death, the Miraculous Force. And then they realized it's not such an attractive name to get people involved. So when Martin Luther made his defection, they said, okay, let's just change our posture and we'll do the Freemasons, you know, the person who's the stone builders, very, very credible. And they changed their name from the Miraculous Force to the Freemasons. And then, and their sole job, of course, is to wipe Christ off the earth and the notion of him, and to destroy the Catholic Church. That's why if you ever want to become a Knights of Columbus for you gentlemen, one of the questions you're going to be asked is, do you belong to any other organizations? And if you mention the Masons, you have to either drop out of the Masons, or you cannot become a Knights of Columbus. Now again, a lot of good people are Masons. They have no idea what the order is, because they save that for the upper echelon. So, but if you're a Freemason out there listening, or if you know one, look into it. Their sole purpose is to destroy Christ, destroy the Catholic Church, and really to allow communism and slavery reign. And again, it was formed by the Levites in 70 AD, and the Levites were part of those that put Jesus to death. So it all makes sense.
Wow.
It's all demonic. It's all demonic. It's ingeniously demonic, but it's demonic.
I was driving behind the car today that had all the Masonic symbols on it. So at the red light, I was praying over that whole car. I was praying the Blessed Mother come in, the precious blood, the divine will over this guy at the red light. So I don't know, maybe he had a conversion. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, they make it so attractive. You know, if you're a business owner, they'll help your business. Business for you. They'll loan you money. They'll give you money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about money. Remember what, what's his name? Rothschild, maybe? One of those guys, he said, give me control over the money. I care not who make the laws. Because the money's going to dictate everything. The laws, the people, the graft, the corruption, everything is all money-based. Now, this in red, we already read it. We sort of preemptively read that, but maybe we can jump down here, Maureen.
Okay. They will be few, but it even one alone. Was it not one alone? He who, withdrawing from my will, disfigured and broke my plans and destroyed the purpose of creation? In the same way, one alone can adore it and fulfill its purpose. However, my works never remain isolated. So I will have the army of the souls who will live in my will, and in them I will have my creation restored, all beautiful and striking, just as it came out of my hands. Otherwise, I would not have so much interest in making my will known.
I'm so glad that God gives us the end of the story.
Yeah.
Before we get to the end, so we know there's nothing to worry about. God comes, God wins. We all win. It's also suggested that, you know, when if the chastisements hit the way that they may, you know, 2/3 of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth, that only those remaining will be those journeying in the divine will.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, if Satan is going to be in chain for 1,000 years and then allowed back, he'll have no host. Like a leech needs a host, needs to suck blood from someone. Well, if everyone's living the divine will, Satan cannot tempt anybody. So he's going to die a brutal death, because he's going to have no life through anyone anymore. There'll be no more victims to his ill and to his evil. So again, we're where we prayed to be. We're where we desired to be. We're where God wants us to be. And it's so incredible. It's so, I'll call it outlandish, that sometimes I even think to myself, is this real? Can this really be? Well, how are we born? Are you breathing? Is your blood flowing? What are you doing to help that? Nothing. It's all God's most holy divine will. Everything
right.
that we are is in him. And that's somewhere also in one of the those. Oh, I came across this. I must please read this too. This is volume 3, August 3rd, 1900. And this is when I say no more chasing butterflies. We don't have to go anywhere anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love conferences. We don't need conferences. We don't need retreats. We don't need any of that. It's nice if we can go on them. We don't need it. Jesus says here, volume 3, August 3rd, 1900, quote, my daughter, why do you look for me outside of yourself? while you can find me more easily within yourself.
Oh, wow.
God has come into us through us. It's invisible. Nobody can stop it except us. Nobody can block it. It's not like he's coming in the flesh. This is an interior coming. That's why St. Cyril of Jerusalem and St. Bernard of Clairvaux, they talk about three comings of our Lord. Again, that sounds scandalous too, right? There's the first coming that happened. There's the coming that in the end of time when God judges the living and the dead. But there's an intermediate coming. There's a coming 1.5 where only the elect, as St. Bernard says, and he's a doctor of the church. He's in the breviary. He says only the elect will recognize it and they will be saved. It's God preparing us, this sanctification. But again, it's all being done. It's underground wiring, so no winds can disturb this. We're the only ones that can stop it.
Yeah.
He saved the best for last. It's all up to us. He's offering it. And he's not going to force us. He's a gentleman. We can say, yes, I want this. Or we can say, no, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to those who say no, thanks, who have enough knowledge to recognize what it is, Jesus says, those souls would be better off not being born. That is very strong. But no pressure, like you said before.
It's reminding me of like being at war and we're doing guerrilla warfare. You know, the enemy's walking through the forest and we're hidden.
Yeah.
And he's like, who just did that? Or where'd that come from? Or whatever. It's the little daughters of the divine will, little sons of the divine will, wreaking havoc on evil. And in their own home, in the quiet of their own home, you know, with Jesus inside them. It's just fascinating. Really.
It really is. This is what we began last session, which was several weeks ago. This was really important too. And this is worthy, like all of this is worthy of meditation. We can read it. We can talk about it, but it's nothing. God has to teach this to us. God has to unveil what he wishes to unveil. And he's going to unveil it perhaps slightly differently to each and every one of us so that we can understand it based on our history, our personalities, our mental capacity. He does it custom or tailored to us. And that's why it's only he and she that can really teach his gift to us. But again, we're all cheerleaders here, hoping to get that excitement for that. So if we can read this, Maureen, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. And my dear Jesus, wounded by my moans and sustaining me in his arms, said to me, my daughter, do not marvel. This is my usual way. After work, I want to find rest in my same labor, in the midst of my same works, that more than soft bed lends themselves in the act of profound adoration and mute silence to give me rest. Rest after work is the exchange of work. It is just, and I am content that she makes the sacrifice.
Hey, really quickly, God doesn't need rest. But he rests for our benefit. And, you know, Maureen, I put this back to the analogy. Remember we talked about, I think you've got great experience in this. When we feed an infant or a young child, where we're feeding baby food, how do you feed them? You usually give them a little bit and you wait, right? Mm-hmm. You wait until they chew, they swallow, you make sure, and then you give more. You don't keep giving food so they choke and even something worse. So God's doing the same. He gives us something and then he holds back. So he holds back so we can digest it, so we can masticate on it. He knows our minds, how simple we are, how complicated we can be. So he gives us a truth and he pauses to let us absorb it. And then he comes back again like a good parent and gives more food once we see the child has swallowed properly. He's doing the same thing. So his rest is not, he's tired. His rest is for us so we can embrace it, we can position it, and we can then be receptive and have a desire to receive more. That's his rest, which I think is beautiful. Okay.
Did I not do the same in creation? First, I created it with my fiat, because our word is work, is step, is everything. And after everything was ordered and operated, I found the most beautiful and sweet rest. These are the alternating of our supreme being, work and rest. Work calls us to rest, and rest calls us to work. Therefore, don't you want that I rest in your soul? Everything that you see in yourself is nothing other than work of your Jesus.
How great is that line?
Wow.
Let me see if there's any more red, because we basically taking the time, and I just think it was worth that recap, because again, it's been 3 weeks for me, and once we read or listen to or pray what we've already covered, I know all of us have that same inclination to receive more. God, he expands, like Father Celso says, he expands our capacity. We can now understand a little deeper what he means. So I'm going to try to post this on the website somewhere, because I think all this is so fascinatingly exciting that it really builds a wonderful foundation to where we're going next. But that's where we're going to finish out. I think we're going to have to wait till next week to do that. And I'll just make sure I hold it here, because again, this is very powerful. God is giving us everything. He's giving us every opportunity to succeed. That's why he said, when you mentioned also, I'm worrying about, about the 6,000 years that have gone, and God's given us everything, as we read in volume 14, the church, the sacraments, the saints, everything that he's given us is to help us go back to the order, the place, and the purpose. I mean, he keeps outdoing himself, and he says, I've given you enough. He says, I've given you enough, I'm paraphrasing, that as long as you use what I've given you, you cannot fail. Cannot fail. He says, I think in volume 4, to enter into this gift, again, not to live it like Louisa, but to enter into it, to be able to say, I'm journeying in the divine will. He says, you just must be in a state of grace, have an ardent desire, and have an upright intention. So you have that vigor, be in the state of grace, and you want to do this for the right reason, to glorify God, to give God back everything on the level of God due to God, which can only be done through the gift of the divine will. It's really, it's so simple, it's difficult. And I think if nothing else, I think this program through Father Anuzzi's book will just help us to just simplify how simple this really is. I mean, what did we read early on? I don't have the quote in front of me, but he says, I had to make this gift, I'm paraphrasing, I had to make this gift available to everyone in all circumstances, in all conditions, in every place. It's not predicated on what we do, what we have, what we've done. It's available to everyone. But he says, unless they do not want it. And that should be no of us. That should be none of us to not want this. So it's available to everyone. It's easy. He says he guarantees. We just did that. Ardent desire, state of grace, upright intention. He guarantees we'll receive the gift. We're in the foyer. We did no work to get that gift and to get that presence in the foyer. Now our work begins. Now he wants to know, are we going to explore? Are we going to unveil the furniture? Are we going to look around? Are we going to discover other truths? We're out of the storm. And that's, I think, where we need to be if we're going to survive. And not only survive, but God has destined us to thrive, not just survive. Any closing thoughts, Maria?
No, that's a good thought to have at the end, what you just said.
Yeah, I don't know what I said, but it is.
Not just to survive, but to thrive.
Thrive, yeah. I think that really is true. Really true. Well, I'd like to then end in prayer a very short quote by Saint Cyril Jerusalem. Again, one of those saints that speak about this intermediate coming. I asked Father Anuzzi, is this intermediate coming the divine will? He says, absolutely. So we are living the intermediate coming of Christ. So we cannot miss this opportunity. So we're going to end with this, and we're going to use this as prayer, what Saint Cyril said. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Cyril said, when times get difficult, quote, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, and never leave the church, end quote. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, everybody.
See everyone next week, God willing. And just a quick update, Mother Gabriel Marie and four sisters. I keep forgetting what the sisters are that are in Tennessee. Sister Magdalena, Sister Gloria, I think Sister Pamela. I'm not sure who the fourth one is. But Mother arrived safely in Marysville.
Oh, good.
Marysville, Tennessee. So they're setting up shop. They may not be with us on Sunday because they have to get the internet hooked up and all that stuff. But we're still going to have Sister Francesca and the Divine World Daughters from Italy that'll join us at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Rosary and adoration begins at 1 p.m. And then we hope to have Mother back live on next Thursday's Radio Maria at 11 a.m. So thanks be to God for everything that's happening. It's growing, and we can now start to plan a road trip in 2024 to go visit Mother and the sisters in Marysville, Tennessee. Can you imagine moving to a town called Marysville?
You said God has a sense of humor, and boy, does America need them in America. We need them. Honestly, boy.
He does. Well, thanks be to God. See everyone and have a great day and love one
God
another.
God bless everybody.
We are going to need each other more than we've ever imagined. Very, very soon, if not already. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Does the bar close down?